I am really excited about this. It's an opportunity to do a lot of things, and I'm really deeply appreciative of Pastor Jarrett for giving me this chance. His father's sitting down here as a friend of mine on the second row, and I saw him, and I was thinking, why are you here, Mr. Stevens? Not realizing they're here to take care of the kids because Pastor Jarrett's gone. And he said, well, I just came to hear the good preaching. And I said, can you get to New Orleans in time to hear your son? But he's put the burden on. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, summer was an amazing time. School was out. And when school goes out, it's an indicator of all of the fun that summer's got. And so I can remember as a kid going on vacation in the summer. We had family vacations that were so much fun. Now, for a good bit of my growing up years, before God gave us the mercy of moving to Lubbock, Texas, the hub of the plains, the town that's so flat you can watch your dog run away for 3 days. Old joke, but it's true. Before that, we lived in Rochester, New York. That's way up there off of Lake Ontario. And every summer, we would go see our grandparents. One set of our grandparents lived in San Angelo, Texas, and the other set of the grandparents lived in Palestine, Texas. And we didn't fly. Dad would pack up the car. And I mean, he would pack all the luggage in the floorboard of the back seat, so the back seat just made one bed. We didn't know what seat belts were. And we drove for 30 plus hours nonstop to San Angelo, Texas, the first leg on summer vacation. And Mom, being Mom, always wanted to experiment. There was the year that she decided we could save money on eating out if she took some aluminum foil and wrapped up a roast in the aluminum foil and tied it to the radiator or some part of the engine that would run hot to cook it while we're driving. Gotta love Mom. Meanwhile, there's Dad behind the wheel of the car. And do you know what Dad's doing? He's singing songs that would not exist in my vocabulary if I hadn't heard my dad sing them for 30 hours from Rochester, New York to San Angelo. So here's the test. One of our vacation songs. Do you know this one?
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood.
And my dad's snapping his fingers while he's driving.
A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons. What do you keep?
Now, I faded out here in a sec. Hang on. So my dad was not Tennessee Ernie Ford, but he did a pretty good imitation driving our Ford through Tennessee singing the song. And I liked it as a kid the first few times he sang it because it had that verse, if you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't and a lot of men died. I got one fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. We loaded 16 tons. I got that song down. I liked it. And I don't know if you've gone on these family trips in cars and if you've got sing songs that you sing along to while you do it, but this is actually relevant to the sermon. Because Psalm 84 is a song to be sung on vacation. You say, what? Trust me. You see, every year, observant Jews and Israelites, before they were just Jews, Israelites would journey to Jerusalem to celebrate certain occasions. They would journey as a family. Now, they didn't have cars. They had caravans. But they would walk. They would carry their tents. They'd have donkeys and camels that would help carry the loads. And they would all descend onto Jerusalem. One of the biggest celebrations was Sukkot, which was at the end of the growing season. So it would be the equivalent, even though it was August, September, October, it would be the equivalent of a summer vacation for us. You planted the crops. Well, you prepared the fields. You planted the crops. You tended the crops. You harvested the crops. And then you stored the crops or treated them the way you needed to treat them to store them. And then everybody gathered up. Work is done. It's time for vacation. And they all went as families and clans and masses to Jerusalem to sacrifice to God, to thank him for the growing season and the things that he had made. And that's what they did. And there are certain songs that they sang on the caravans. And these songs, if you think about the map of Israel and we throw it up there, the distance like from Hazor up at the top down to Jerusalem is about 100 miles. That's a lot of walking, especially when you're taking your kids. I said to Jeff, I said, would it be wrong if I preached holding my 6-week-old granddaughter who's on the second row? He said, nah, and if she gets fussy, just throw her to me, because Texas Tech had good quarterbacks and Baylor had good receivers. We're not going to do that, but I really appreciate his boldness. But you've got little babies who have to stop and be fed. You've got these kids running around. And what would happen is the people who need to get there from Hazor, they start a few days earlier than the other people, but they all pick up on the way there because there's only a few roads. And everybody gets to the main road, and pretty soon it's a huge encampment all headed to Jerusalem, which, by the way, happens in reverse when they all leave, which is why the 12-year-old Jesus could accidentally be left behind and nobody realizes it at first. I mean, if we leave one of our kids behind, it's kind of obvious they're not in the back seat. But you've got a massive caravan, and somebody thinks he's with Uncle Joe or with Aunt Harriet, and it never occurs to them till they're putting the kids down at night. Where's Jesus? Oh, my goodness, we left him in Jerusalem. Somebody turn around and go back and get the kid. And that happens. This is real life stuff. It just happens to be in the Bible. And so this is one of the songs that they would sing as they made this journey to Jerusalem. Now, Brent read it, but let's look at the words together for a moment. These words are pretty simple. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. We're going to the temple. My soul longs. We're so excited. We're fainting to get to the temple. Yeah, I bet they were fainting. It was hot. My soul longs, it faints for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. They're singing this. They're thinking, you know, even the sparrow finds a home. The swallow, a nest for herself where she can lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. We're so excited to go. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Can you imagine getting to live in the house of God? Ever singing your praise? But blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. The people walking these roads with us. You're singing blessing on the people you're with. And as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength until they get there. Till each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. They don't know what Selah means. That's why they just put it in there in the Hebrew. Selah. Good bit of people think that it probably means it's a pause in the song. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. By the way, the Hebrew doesn't have the word elsewhere in there. It just says, a day in your courts is better than 1,000. And I'm convinced, because they're singing this song, it's than 1,000 anything. Better is one day in the presence of God than 1,000 figs If you're passing a fig tree, then 1,000, you know, whatever they're passing, and they can fill it in with whatever. This is a family sing song, a caravan sing song. Better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And that's the journey song. And so what I'd like to do in the next 20 minutes are three things with you. I'd like to first urge you to treasure the presence of God. Treasure it. Treasure it enough to want it. Better, treasure it enough to want it more than you want 1,000 of anything else. And then the second thing is I want to urge us to take comfort in the presence of God. And then the third and final thing we'll do before we bring this to a close is see that we can be changed by the presence of God. Because this is a song about getting into the presence of God. And so if we look at it that way and we want to treasure the presence of God, these people are going to the temple. They are so excited to be in the temple. It's the whole thing they're walking toward. They're taking their sacrifices to the temple. They're walking 100 miles to worship God in the temple. Some of us have trouble driving 4 miles to get to church. They're walking 100 miles because they know how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. They call it your dwelling place. It's where God is. And how lovely, how beautiful, how marvelous it is to be in the presence of God. More than that, to be in God's home. The temple is conceptualized here as the home of God. And so the people who worship there are his guests. It's like you have been invited by God to come to his home. Humanity did not make up that festival they're going in for. God told them to do it. He said, come on. Come on to my house. And they're so excited about it, and rightfully so. Because when God is present, that temple was no longer just a bunch of rocks put up together in a pile. God changes the ordinary into the extraordinary. The presence of God in your life can take a meal that's an ordinary meal and make it an extraordinary meal. It's one reason before you eat, you should thank God for the food and for his presence while you eat. We thank God for his presence in our midst. If we had taken communion and God had not been present, we'd have just been having a mid-morning snack of not very much cracker and grape juice. But the presence of God transforms what we're about in here. And the presence of God transforms our life. And we should see it as something that's lovely and something that we eagerly anticipate and something we'd walk 100 miles for in a heartbeat and do for one day instead of having 1,000, something else. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs. My soul faints for the courts of God. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Think about that for a moment. One of the reasons we come here and we get led by these marvelous people of God who lead us in worship is because it is right for us to sing with joy in our hearts to the living God. You know, sometimes when you're in here singing, everybody stands up, or sometimes some people stand up. You're trying to figure out, am I supposed to stand up? Am I not supposed to stand up? You're supposed to do whatever God puts in your heart, but know this, you need to be doing it with joy. And I think that's what propels most people out of their seats. They're just so joyful and thankful. The reason, if you're a visitor, the reason we clap oftentimes after a song is not because we're applauding the worship team. though periodically we do say thank you because those folks are so talented and they give their time and it's appropriate to. But in worship, we're applauding the God. We're just so filled with joy. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself. You know, in all the nooks and crannies of the temple, there are all these little birds. And the birds just sort of fill the air with joyful songs in the presence of God. That, by the way, is actually a real sparrow singing a real song. That's the sparrow song. Hold on, you might want to learn it. Yeah, that's the sparrow song. But beyond that, in Hebrew, the birds in the Old Testament are symbols of the life and the freedom and the joy of people who can dwell close to God. Because in the Hebrew mindset, God was somewhere up there. You know, they thought of God beyond the floods, above the heavens, and they thought of God up there. Well, the birds, they fly up there. And so the birds became a symbol of those who dwell close to God. And that's why the psalmist is putting it in there. They're going to be in the presence of God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, but blessed also are those who are getting invited in. Now, if you're a Hebrew reader, that word blessed there, you can look the word up. The word is ashri in Hebrew. It's not the typical word baruch, which is the word for blessed. This means more happy. Happy are those who dwell in your house. Being in the presence of God puts a song of joy in your heart. It should make you happy. This is a vacation song. They're happy. They're joyful. And they finished the work. They're all going together to be in the presence of God. And we should treasure the presence of God in our lives. More than treasure the presence of God, though, let me urge us, there we go, to take comfort in the presence of God. Look at this next verse. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Our grandson, Gracie and JT's son, is 3 years old in preschool. And Gracie and JT had been trying to teach him to eat protein because he's got Lanier blood in him, which screams, eat only carbohydrates, donuts especially. And so they would teach him that protein builds muscle. So as I remember the story, at least, he was in preschool, and the teacher was trying to talk to the children about what gifts and talents they have, what are their talents. And she called out John Henry, our three-year-old grandson, and said, John Henry, what talents do you have? And he said, muscles, because I eat protein. Now, it does raise a question. What is it that makes you strong? Spinach. You remember the song, I'm strong to the finish because I eat my spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. What makes you strong? What gives you strength in your life? When there are storms that are dropping the trees around us like flies. What gives you strength in your emotional life? What gives you strength in the storms of life that threaten to wreck your family or your finances? That threaten to strip you of your sanity? What is it that gives you strength when you have no direction and you have no idea what to do? What is it that gives you strength when that health crisis is being announced to you by the doctor? See, there are times that find all of us where we've got to either find strength or we will crumble. And the psalmist says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. In other words, we're making the vacation trip right now. But blessed are the people who are always looking to go to God and the presence of God in the midst of any difficulties of life. In my heart are the highways to Zion. That's the mentality we need to have. In my heart, when there's a problem, I'm going to find God. When there's a problem, I'm going to see what God has to say. I want His strength. I want His encouragement. I want His shelter. And then the song has this great lyric, if I could. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The Hebrew word Baca means something. Now, some scholars think it's a takeoff of the balsam trees, or there may have been a valley or something that people were passing, but the word means weeping, tears, crying. As they go through the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs, an oasis. This is an incredible part of this verse. Everybody knows that life's not always a joyous vacation. As they go through the valley of tears, our tears become an oasis. That's what the song's saying. God can even take that which is negative, that which is harmful, that which is unfair, that which exploits, that which damages, and turn it into an oasis from which you will have untold strength and ability to flourish in this life. It's not that God wants you to go through suffering. He didn't create Adam and Eve to go through suffering, but suffering is what we go through. And He does not abandon us. He says, you put in your heart a highway to me. And when you're in suffering and when you're in trouble, you find that highway to me and my presence will change you. I'll take your tears and make them an oasis. What a great song. And then he goes on to say that these people whose tears have become an oasis, they go from strength to strength the whole way, the whole journey, till each one appears before God in Zion. The presence of God brings blessings out of hardships. And when you're facing those hardships, you need the presence of God. Because the presence of God will radically change it into the blessings of God. So, the presence of God. We should not only treasure the presence of God, we should take comfort in the presence of God, because the presence of God is life transforming. And then last but not least, we should be changed by the presence of God. If we go back to the psalm, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Again, elsewhere's not in the Hebrew. That's added by the translators so it doesn't look like it makes no sense. But better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days in God's court? I don't know. That doesn't really make sense. That's not what he's talking about. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 somewhere. Okay. But not just 1,000 somewhere, 1,000 things. I promise you, you can have a collection of Corvettes. You have 1,000 of them. I had a friend who was a car collector, and he had over 1,000 incredible. He had like the Batmobile for a while, the original one. He had the Popemobile. I saw Carol Wilson over here. She knows this man. He's passed away now. But I promise you, I went into his warehouse one time. I was awed. He had like a bunch of Dusseldorfs or something like that. Maybe that's not even a car. Duesenbergs, Fusenbergs or something. He had these fancy cars in this huge warehouse. And I tell you, it'd be better to spend one day in the presence of God than have every one of his thousand other things. That I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Doorkeeper's a funny word in the Hebrew here. It's basically, I'd rather wait in line to get in God's house than to dwell in the most luxurious tent in the wicked, of the wicked. I would rather stand in line to get into God's house and be in his presence. Why? Because the Lord God is a sun and shield. A sun, he illuminates life. He nourishes the ground. A shield, because he protects. He's a giving God. He bestows favor. He bestows honor. That's a stunning thought, because God is worthy of all honor and praise, and yet he seeks to bestow that on his people. He doesn't withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. Now, there's a pun there in the Hebrew. The pun exists in the English. If you think about it, this is a vacation song, right? So high school kids just got back from camp, kind of vacation. If you walk uprightly on the trip, that's one thing. But it's a demonstrative word for living your life in a righteous or upright fashion from God. And I like to think of it this way. If you consider a treehouse for a moment, you would not build a tremendous treehouse on a branch that couldn't hold the weight. You need a branch that's strong. And that's the way God is with you and me. God's going to figure out how much weight we can hold, and that's what he's going to put upon us. And he's not going to withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. And you say, well, he's withholding a few from me. Well, he's going to give you whatever your branches can support, which should be a call to everyone to grow in the Lord. See, this is a travel psalm. This psalm is a psalm for a journey. This psalm is one that says, treasure the presence of God, take comfort in the presence of God, be changed by the presence of God. But there's more to it than that for you and me. See, we want to be changed by the presence of God. The presence of God should make a difference. We should not be the same when we leave today as we were when we came in. We've come into the presence of God. When we're singing the songs that Brent and the worship team lead us in, don't ever get so caught up in the incredible talent or the incredible songs that we forget that they are drawing us into the presence of God, because that's the presence of God that will change us and transform us. That's the God who will not hold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. I love this. I love this travel psalm. It's a great one to start the summer with. But it's a great one for life, because technically, we're all on a journey to God. Our life is a journey. And I love the idea of all of us. You know, the people who, young folks who have been to summer camp, one of the hardest times is to come back from summer camp, because you've been on like this incredible experience, and you just feel like, yeah, but I'm back into the same old, same old. But don't let that happen. You transform the same old by staying in the presence of God. You've been in camp in the presence of God every day, and it's changed who you are. take the presence of God. God's Spirit dwells within us. They had to journey to Jerusalem, but we don't have to do that because Jesus, God, journeyed to earth to dwell within us through His Holy Spirit when we put Him on in faith. And so you've got the presence of God in you that can transform your life. If you will tap into that presence and recognize that presence and worship and adore the presence of God in you. Which brings us to this. Can we ever be of any help to you to fill up your tank and get you started on the trip of a lifetime? Because that's what this is. This is the trip of a lifetime. A God who will transform the ordinary into the extraordinary, who will take you on a journey into eternity that will give you strength and every good thing you need, that will take your tears and make an oasis. That's the God. So before you leave, would you join me in praying to that God?
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.